Hello, and welcome back to Parent is a Verb on OUradio.org. Hi, I'm Dr. Barry Holzer.
And I'm Chani Holzer.
And we're here to talk about overprotective parents.
What do you mean by overprotective parents?
Well, I think what we're talking about in overprotective parents is parents who are overly fearful about their children and can't allow their child to experience life independently. These are, you know, really just the very nervous parents, also known as the helicopter parents.
Or hovering parents.
Right, because they're always hovering.
Right.
These are parents where, you know, they're afraid to let their kid go on the school bus because they don't trust that the bus driver is going to drive carefully enough. They're afraid the bus is going to get into an accident.
I think that you're talking about people who are perceiving danger at every step of the way. They're anticipating danger.
They're anticipating danger, exactly. These are parents who, you know, as opposed to taking your kid to the park and let them play on the jungle gym, and maybe giving them some words of advice about safety, they've got to go on the jungle gym with them. So as if they're going to catch them in case they fall.
Right. That'll help. And, I think in a past segment, we've talked about getting in touch with your own issues so that it doesn't get played out in your child's life. And I think this is a pretty good example of how a parent's issue not kind of managed and taken care of gets played out.
I think over-anxious parents, you know, who are overprotective, see this as healthy and normative. They see what they're doing is, well, I'm just protecting my child, and that's important. You know, I'm afraid for them to go swimming, you know, because they could drown. Even if I send them for swimming lessons, how do I know there's going to be enough supervision? They've got, you know, 8 kids in the pool. Nobody's watching.
Right.
So that even in what should be normative situations, you know, healthy situations where they can grow, these parents are, you know, want to protect their children to the point that they're not exposed to usual normal experiences.
Yes. It's really kind of getting in the way of the child experiencing life as a child.
And these parents feel so responsible, right, as if the world is such a scary, dangerous place, and they have to shield my child, you know, that they're just, you know, they want to hold on to their children, hold their hand through life. And, you know, it's like if I don't let my 1-year-old fall, they'll never learn how to get up, and they'll never learn how to walk on their own. So I have to allow them to fall, even though they are going to hurt themselves. It's just like, you know, if you don't want them to ever fall on the bicycle, they'll never learn to ride a bicycle. Or certainly they're not going to learn for many years.
Right. And I think for these parents in particular, it's extremely painful to think that anything bad or slightly dangerous could happen to their child. It's just so overwhelming for them.
And this happens with regards to school as well. These are parents who won't let their children do their homework by themselves.
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, children will always ask, oh, I can't do it. And the appropriate parent says, yes, you can. And if there's something you're having a problem with, you'll come and tell me.
Right. You offer some help, but you don't do it for them. And I think what happens with these parents is that they do everything for the child. They do all the homework for the child. I had a case in my practice where a young lady who, her mother literally did all of her homework and all of her reports throughout elementary school and high school. This child, this young lady, was perfectly capable, but never believed she was because everything was always, her mother always took care of everything. And lo and behold, this young lady started college. She was very bright, but was completely overwhelmed by the experience and ended up dropping out.
I think for some of these parents, this need for, you know, perfection sometimes gets in the way, and, you know, as opposed to homework being a learning experience, it becomes experience of, you know, it's got to be just right, and they're afraid that the message kid is, you can't do it, you're going to mess it up. So that being overprotective gives unintended messages to our children. Okay, it gives them the message that
the world is a scary place, just remember that. The world is a scary place. You aren't really capable of navigating this scary place called the world. You don't have those abilities. We have to do that for you and help you with it.
And so they're telling them is you're not capable of handling things by yourself. You need someone to help you. And if you don't have someone to help you, you're going to fall apart. Okay? You're not going to be successful. As opposed to giving the message that if you work hard, you can do it. Okay? And without allowing them to ever fall or fail. And children learn by failing. I mean, success in this world is not mostly by people who never fail. It's mostly by people who fail and get right back up and keep going. So teaching children that you can fail and you can get back up and you can go again and try again and keep trying is really one of the most important messages we can teach our children. And the hovering parent never lets a child experience that. But when children feel that this world is so scary and there are dangers lurking everywhere, they become more anxious. They become more fearful. It's a learned worry.
Well, yes, it's learned worry and it's learned helplessness. And it's also sometimes, I think what ends up happening is that kids have almost like an opposite, a little bit defiant reaction, and that's that they become these risky risk takers, and they're just going to do anything and everything as soon as they get the slightest opportunity to do anything.
So that you can get this opposite reaction in some children who tend to have more sense of themselves and just get angrier and more frustrated with their parents. But on the other hand, for I think most of these kids, they become overly compliant and placid and stop trying. And they lose motivation because they don't believe they can. And that really leads to kids who have more anxious and depressive symptoms. So, you know, they're too afraid to try. They don't believe they can do. They think it's too scary.
And failure seems to be a really big problem. You're not allowed to fail. Failure is not okay.
So, you know, the world becomes ever more scary for these kids.
And impossible to navigate.
And so they don't try. They don't aim high.
Well, right. What's really happening is, well, the developmental, you know, milestones in order to build more and more skills to navigate life never happen.
So therefore, they have limited expectations and they limit what they think they can do. How do you know if you're being overprotective?
It's hard to be objective about this, by the way, if you do have a lot of anxiety and you do feel like the need to take very good care of your child. You kind of lose perspective here.
Right. And some things are really gray areas. It's like, yeah, I think it's not appropriate to not let your child ride the bicycle. But depending on the age, you know, you have to determine whether they can really ride in the street or not. Certainly, they have to follow the law and wear a helmet. And telling your child, without a helmet, you can't ride, I think is good judgment. But, you know, they have activities, let's say, like skiing, that tend to be somewhat riskier.
Very gray area.
And it's a gray area. To me, you know, going skiing without a helmet is, you know, I wouldn't do that any more than I go riding my bicycle without a helmet. Okay? And therefore, I would expect myself to wear a helmet when I ride a bicycle. And I expect my kids to do the same thing. And, you know, I don't, you know, skiing is a, you know, I know I realized skiing was more dangerous when I applied for life insurance, and that was one of the questions, you know, do you go skydiving, do you go skiing, you know, and if you these activities actually raise your rate. So I realized that's probably statistically a more dangerous activity. They don't ask you to go bike riding or do you drive a car. So, you know, yes, you certainly can take more precautions, but limiting your child totally is something so that, you know, especially if you find yourself ruling out activities that have your child being away from you overnight. So if you don't want to send them to camp overnight, even though they just finished fourth grade, let's say, and half the grade is going.
And your child expresses interest in going.
And your child wants to go and you say, well, maybe next year. That's telling them that they can't manage without you. Where really it might be that you can't manage without them. Okay, and this is where the learned anxiety comes in.
It's being modeled.
Right. So if you won't allow them certain activities that seem pretty normative. Like, you don't want them to go rock climbing or swimming or something because you're afraid. Well, that's your fear. Don't give it to them. If you're constantly worried about their well-being, you know, that you think about it, makes you anxious throughout the day at different times, you know.
If you're constantly worrying about, even though you feed them well, whether they're well-fed or, you know, maybe the food isn't good enough, and that becomes somewhat of a preoccupation.
Right. Or if minor, you know, physical symptoms, if they, you know, become, you know, you're worried, you're running to the doctor because they've had a stomach ache for 24 hours, and you're convinced that something terrible is happening, you know, kids get headaches and stomach aches and all sorts of things. If you find yourself over worrying about it, then you have to really think, where is this coming from? You know, if you feel secure only when they're with you and you're watching them,
that's overprotection, because really the child will be okay if they're at a friend's house, as long as you know the parents and you're comfortable with the parents, or you're comfortable with the child care provider because the parents aren't home. It's okay, but if you're reluctant to set up a play date, or you refuse play dates for your child because it doesn't feel safe to you, and it makes you too scared to let them go to a play date because they're not with you, you're being overprotective.
For that matter, if you're going in and checking on your two-year-old to make sure they're breathing every night, a couple times a night, you're probably worrying too much, you know. And as we mentioned before, if you're helping them on projects or assignments and you don't let them do anything by themselves, you don't tell them to do it and you'll check it, or to do it and, you know, bring it to you and you'll correct it, but you're doing it with them or for them.
Right. Also, you know, that you're always thinking the worst thing could happen to your child, whether it be when they're walking, talking, playing, going to school, eating outside food. You're always coming up with the worst case scenarios. That's overprotection.
Well, it's also if they're having difficulty with another child, instead of giving them advice on how to manage it, you're running to yell at the other kid or yell at the other parent, the kid's parent, and get intervening right away.
Or if you're trying to solve the problem for them.
Right. Without guiding them on how they can solve their problem. Okay? It's your job is to give advice, is to give counsel. Your job is not to go and solve it for them.
Well, your job is to be empathic, to be supportive.
I think overall, the difficulty that we all have as parents is that, you know, our children start off as really helpless little babies. And it's our job to really guide them in growth. And developmentally, they keep growing. So that every age, it's, you know, our jobs keep changing. When a child is 1 or 2 years old, your job is to encourage them to walk, and, you know, even when they want to get carried, you want them to, you know, to walk on their own, okay? If you carry them around, they're not going to grow properly. They get a little bit older, they start experimenting and learning about the world. If I'm going to constantly watch, what is he taking? What is it? Where's his fingers going? What is he putting in his mouth? You know, you want to guide them.
Right. Also helping your child to understand things. Let's say for a 2 or 3 year old, if there's a cup of hot liquid and they're trying to put their finger into the liquid, if you just say no, you're kind of squelching their curiosity. But instead you might say something like, oh, it's very hot and hot things can hurt your fingers. But you're not squelching their curiosity. You're just explaining to them why they shouldn't be putting their fingers there.
Right. And let them touch the outside, you know, take their finger, let them touch the outside for a second, let them feel what hot feels like, show them, teach them, so that this way they become part of the experience, as opposed to just hovering and keeping them away from everything and they don't learn.
Right, and they also will remember what hot means the next time you say the word hot.
Right.
So they are learning, they are incorporating in their own system what's appropriate and what's not appropriate.
Right. So that our job is to constantly teach and pull away as much as possible. Give them room to grow. Okay? And that's very hard for a lot of parents. Look, we know if till the time they get married and beyond, it doesn't get easier. And for some parents, that's harder than for others.
Mm-hmm.
And for some parents, the idea of, you know, at certain points, they can become overprotective because it just gets too scary for them. And so for some parents, this might happen when the kids start school at 5 or 6, and they start getting too anxious and concerned. And for some parents, it might happen when their daughter starts dating, you know, when she's, you know, 18. And, you know, it makes them very uncomfortable and they really can't manage it. So that it's really a question of, you know, how can I, you know, help my child to really learn to grow, to not hinder their growth.
Right. And also, you know, I think to some degree, we want to really teach a balance between unsafe things, and that the world really is a very curious, safe, wonderful place to live, as opposed to a very fearful place to be in, and you should kind of restrict yourself because if you do anything, you might get hurt.
Right. So, you know, so how do I really teach myself how to do this? One thing is talk about it. Talk with your, you know, the other parent. If you're a single parent, talk with friends who have kids the same age and talk about, you know, what are you doing? Get ideas, get a sense of what the norm is. Okay. Don't assume that what you're doing is necessarily the norm. But don't assume that you're wrong either.
Right.
But you learn to have communication, listen to your children, what they're requesting, talk to other people, get a sense where the norm lies. And that doesn't mean you can't disagree with it.
Right, because one of the things we know is also an open system where there's give and take of information from the outside is a very healthy system. So when you can explore what others are doing or what's normative in the community, then it's a much healthier system. You can incorporate that, you can think about it, and you can choose and kind of mold your own sense of safety and your own sense and remold your sense of safety that might allow your child to experience the world in a more interactive, experiential way.
Right. You should also make sure your child understands that when you are being protective, why you're being protective and what you're concerned about, and that it's not a lack of your trust in the child's competence, right? But what your reasons are for saying, no, I don't want you doing this at this point.
I think explaining that, you know, handling a knife when you're 3 years old is really not safe. And when you're an older mommy, yes, you will be able to handle a knife. Right now, it's not appropriate for you, the 3-year-old, to be handling, you know, the major kitchen knives.
Right. Or, you know, I don't want you going over to this house where, you know, I know the guys drink all the time, because I just don't think that's a healthy environment. So that I'm not going to restrict your going out with your friends totally. But certain activities or certain places I don't think are safe, I don't want you there.
And I think it's also important to remember that no kids escape scraped knees, fractured hands, and mosquito bites. It's all a part of growing up. And watching how other parents tackle the same issue can be very instructive and very helpful. How does the mom next door do it? She seems like really, like, you know, together, and everything seems to move a little bit more, maybe smoothly there. Let me observe what she's doing.
Right.
Again, that open system concept.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, our children get this sense that they don't have, you know, they don't have responsibility, and they're always dependent. And we have to really teach them how to take care of themselves. Certainly, open communication, putting worry in its place, okay? Using it where it's appropriate, okay? Because when we're overly vigilant, it's taxing not only the child, but the parent as well. It gets in the way of the enjoyment of parenting.
Right, and I also think that really if you find that this is a constant issue for you, then you really may need to speak to somebody about it, a professional who can help you and give you perspective and help you with your own anxieties and see where they may have come from. Where do you grow these anxieties, and understanding them and working on managing them?
I think that in terms of what we can do as parents, to help this situation. One is we have to recognize our own anxiety. We have to look at it and to, talk about it to see where is this appropriate, where is it not. We have to have open communication with our kids.
Explaining and teaching.
Right, explaining and teaching. Making sure that our children are constantly being challenged, that they have activities
and experiences that help them build skills through experience.
Right. And that our own worry and anxiety is not determining what's best for our children, but that we can separate ourselves from our anxiety and make decisions beyond that. And that's a hard thing for a lot of parents to do. But I think once you're able to do that, I can be an anxious person, but not be an overprotective parent if I realize that, okay, I'm going to suffer with my anxiety, but I'm going to still let my kid do it.
Right. Because ultimately, really, the goal is to develop and raise a child who is independent, has good skills to navigate and negotiate the world. And the more they have those experiences throughout their developmental history with you, the better they're going to be and prepared to deal with life. You will have done your job.
I think if we focus on these, on think about this, and we concern ourselves with not allowing our fear to get in the way, and allowing our children to experience things properly, and it really enriches our experience as parents for us and for our children. And then our children learn to be more independent, more self-sufficient, and basically less anxious, happier adults. Thank you for joining us today at Parent is a Verb on OU Radio. Please send in your questions or comments or ideas for future programs to parentisaverb@ou.org.